that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 12th. Hey, it's 12:12, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll get the good mornings out there. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Almost forgot your name there, but not quite. Not quite. Hadn't enough coffee
it's
yet, but
tough
I
to remember.
I knew you were there. Yeah, three big letters. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus, and good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for getting up this morning. A little earlier out here than it is on the East Coast, and probably a little cooler, too. We're about a balmy 24 degrees and a couple inches of new snow on the ground and a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. But we do welcome you. We'll have the phone lines open up here in a few minutes. And if you want to call in or if you have something that you want to share, we'll go with that. But we'll open up with prayer first. And Jason, we'll ask you if you would do that first thing.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for this day that you've given us, Father. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, Father, that we're so grateful for. We just ask, Father, right now that you look out after us, that you guide us, that you direct us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, Father, that you continue to give us the hope that we need to press on, Father. We think so often of those Gideon soldiers of old, so though weary, they pressed on, Father. And we pray that we can press on, Father, that we can smile at the future, that we can have the victory in Jesus' name, that we know that you will deliver our enemies into our hands, Father. We pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way for the destruction of fortresses, to bring down those strongholds, Father. We pray that you just assist us, Father, as we strive to have our hearts and minds lined up with you perfectly, Father. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet as we come before you, Father. We desire to be as white as snow, Father. Though we're not perfect, Father, we're running away from sin, Father, and we just ask that you just guide us and direct us and making that commitment, Father. We pray, Father, for this country and this land, and Father, we desire people to be woken up, Father, for them to see the truth, to know the truth, to understand the truth, to first and foremost to know who their Savior is, Father, to go into that watery grave of baptism, Father, for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, to recognize who they are and that they are a people of prophecy, Father, that they fit into this biblical prophecy in the times that we're living in, Father, and that they can be found in the Bible. We pray, Father, for them to wake up and just to for the Bible to come alive to them, Father, for them to know who they are and what they're to do, Father, and that they can do something, Father. And we just desire this national repentance, Father. We just pray, Father, that we can see it, Father, that we can see it, that we can be part of those people that bring it to pass in this land, Father, and that we can see it and that it spreads like wildfire once it starts spreading, Father, that we can have revival in this land once again, Father. Oh, we desire that and we ask for it, and we just pray that you assist us in it. We thank you for everything that you give us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, plenty still going on in the world, from, well, this to that. Had some serious flooding out in Oregon this last week, and that followed some earthquake swarms the week before. Volcanoes erupting over in Italy, first of the week. Never a dull moment, it seems like. And certainly we see those things as the birth pangs, as the all of creation crying out, groaning out, certainly for the revealing of the sons of men, but for that great and terrible day draws near. Our enemy doesn't rest. They continue on with their agendas, with their plans. We have to make sure that we do the same thing. We've been talking to you this year. Just want to make a quick mention about reading your Bible. Hopefully you are. If you are, you're reading it by the Bible reading plan. You're in Colossians. Just, a few chapters left, a few Bible books left, and you will have read the whole Bible this year. We hope you've been doing that. Hope it's been an encouragement to you. And these letters from the apostles to the different churches, to the church in Colossae, to the church of Ephesus, and to those in Galatia, and to the Romans, they are to be not only our instructions, but an encouragement to each and every one of us to remember the things that our Lord and Savior taught, that he presented as the way. Certainly a different way from how people had been living before, but a better way. And so we have the letters there. It's kind of like that offer of that free gift of salvation. It's there. Now whether you make the choice, Remnant, to accept it, to do what you have to do to be able to be part of it and to receive the blessings, well, there's that free choice. But it reminds us on and on. I like one thing here in Colossians 3, right at the very end, that I think so many people tend to forget. And it's just the last verse in Colossians 3, and it says, "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong with which he has done, and that without partiality." And, you know, when you finish up in the book of Revelations, we read something very similar, that Christ is coming. Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." And it seems like all you hear on the Christian talk radio or the Christian music stations and that kind of stuff is, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. Just believe. Just believe. Oh, just believe. Believe and be saved, the Bible said. And it does say that. And there is truth in that. But you just have to understand what believe means. It's not just it's not a non-action type of word. There's more to it than just a thought. And when a people will read their Bible, you see things like this. And we see the marvelous gift that our Lord and Savior has given us. The great price that He paid. But the glory that He's willing to share with us.
It all goes back to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. God's given us the Word of God that has all the answers to every trial and tribulation that we face, has all of the encouragement, all of the battle plans, everything that we need to win the battle. And we just have to seek it. And that's why that Bible reading plan is so important. If we don't seek these prophecies, if we don't ask God for wisdom, if we don't ask God for knowledge, if we don't ask Him for more Holy Spirit, if we don't condemn our own personal desires, wants, and needs and put Him first, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself, then He can't give us the victory. So we have to come to that point where we're taking all of our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and they are ready, which is the Lord and His angels, I believe, to punish the disobedience of those that hate Him and hate His people when our obedience is complete. That and the best gifts, I think, are two of the biggest things that we need to really concentrate on in this upcoming year, the year of our Lord, 2016.
Amen. Amen. And as true as Hosea 4:6 is, when we forget Him, He forgets our children. You know, if that's true, that's the 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, guess what? The other 2 plus 2 is 4 as well. When we turn back and return to Him, see, that's the good news, and Christ made it where we can do that. When we return to the God of our fathers, when we return back to His Word, back to His way, His law, yes, not for righteousness' sake. We're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace through faith. But we are still, once we are saved, then we have instructions on what to do. When we return to Him, individually is where it starts. And then hopefully those individuals that make up the nation, enough of them do that to where it's the nation that returns to Him. Well, when we do that, well, then He does not forget our children. He remembers our children, and He remembers the covenant, the blessings part of the covenant that He made, that everlasting covenant with us. And that's when those blessings flow. And that's when it's,
yeah,
that's when we bless Him, as opposed to just wanting Him to bless us all the time.
Well, speaking of the beginning, if you start reading in Hosea 4, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let no one offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. And then it goes into, but I just, you know, Hosea, it's a pretty short read. Definitely worth going back and reading that from time to time. It's a warning to our people.
Yes. Yep.
But then, you know, sometimes you kind of wonder, have we gotten to the point of Jeremiah? I'm working on a message on that too, on chapter 7, verse 16. where basically God told Jeremiah not to pray for Judah anymore because Judah was so far gone that, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm not saying we're there yet, but, you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And as
yeah.
for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede for me, for I do not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle a fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods in order to spite me. Do they spite me, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves they spite to their own shame? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Now remember, the Queen of Heaven is that statue sitting in the harbor of New York. That Queen of Heaven is the statue that sits perched upon the very top of the Capitol in the Devil City. It's all over down in the Devil City. So if you're serving this government, if you're serving this establishment, then you fit this description.
Amen. And our people today, our nation today, fits this description. You know, when you read
Absolutely.
On, it's in verse 23, in starting at verse 21 and 22, you know, God's talking about what he didn't tell their fathers. He said, I didn't tell your fathers when I led them out of Egypt to do what you're doing today. I told them, obey my word. Obey my voice, and I'll
yeah.
be your God, and you will be my people. And will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. But you know, there's nothing new under the sun. He goes on and says, no, but you walked in your own counsel and in the stubbornness of your own evil heart and went backwards and not forward. And
there's a whole message in that
once
Jeremiah
again,
7
right,
for sure.
Once again, that's where we are. It absolutely, John.
Oh, and I think it ties in scripture that I've quoted a number of times on here is 2 Chronicles 19:2, and it says, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring the wrath of God upon yourself from the Lord? You know, it's pretty obvious right there, that scripture, you know, loving those, helping those, blessing those that, you know, that hate the Lord. And the thing is we've got to we've come to the point where there's a lot of people that hate the Lord, and a lot of people that hate the Lord, and they call themselves Christians. And so you've got to, you know, before you do something and bless somebody or, you know, assist somebody, you got to stop and think to yourself, you know, is this one that hates the Lord or is this one that loves the Lord?
Yeah. Well, look at Islam, you know.
Exactly.
What are we doing?
Yep.
We're trying to bless these people, and they hate our God. And then you got the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, coming out and saying that we all worship the same God. But the thing we can't forget is who started Islam. It was Catholicism that started Islam. And
yep.
if you want to look deeper
yep.
into that,
that pretty
we
much
did several...
shows you what side they're on.
Well, absolutely. Well, we know what side they're on. But what people don't realize, too, is since the abomination got in office, and even before that with Bush... The Saudi Arabia has dumped billions, with a B, billions of dollars into this country to build mosques all over. Better than 2,000 all through the country. And all they are is a point for them to gather and to plot against America. Because they have to. If they believe their Bible, the Quran,
and they do,
then they cannot let anyone who does not accept Muhammad as their prophet and Allah as their God live. And as soon as we get that through our stinking head, we might be able to combat it.
Yeah, I know. And then they play the catch 22 and say, well, these aren't radical Muslims. Well, if they follow Islam at all, then they're a radical Muslim.
Exactly. and they want Sharia law, you know. And as a disgrace as it is to our to us as Christians, you know, they got a lot of that figured out more than we do. And reality is, God could use them to destroy us if we don't change, because they are. They seem to worship their God, you know, five times a day, and they follow the biblical laws more than we do. He could raise them up to destroy us. Not that he won't destroy them, but that's the thing we got to realize is, you know, God's done with lukewarm.
He could be the hand of God in one form or another.
Sure.
Well,
God,
it has
used the hands of, you know, Israel's enemies many times to bring them to their knees.
Absolutely.
That's exactly how God works. He's worked that way throughout the history. Throughout our history. It's recorded time after time. You know, he tells his people how to do it. He sends them a prophet. He sends them a teacher. And they prophesy and they tell the people. And the people say, oh, yes, Lord, we'll obey you. And it may work for a generation or two. But then they, as it said here in Jeremiah, they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did even more evil than their fathers. And that's that sinful nature that our people are born into. And when that happens, when that starts ruling versus not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done, then that's exactly what God does. He brings the people in. He brings the enemies in. He's always done that because it works. And, you know, the entire dispersion, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity from 700 years B.C., was a result of that, of the his people who he said, be ye separate, walk with me and be holy. And they said, nah, we want to be like everybody else. You know, it really was we said, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king, and we want to have everything like everybody else. And because of our stiff necks and stubborn pride as a people in whole, at whole. And then, you know, the Assyrians come from here. You read about the locust of Joel. We've read about that. We've brought messages on that. Why? What did God have to bring the foreigner in? Because people wouldn't obey him. And you know, in this day and age, there is nothing new under the sun. And we see that exact thing happening.
I had the opportunity this week to share with a bunch of the college students that work for me and some of the other younger generation some of the videos of what's going on in Europe. And I said, remember this, that Islam started infiltrating Europe better than 20 years ago. And our God's not mocked. I said, what you're witnessing in these videos is the locust of Joel. And then I showed him in Joel 1, which says, what the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and it has fangs of a lioness, and it has made my vine a waste. So, you know, they're thinking, well, this is going to be a plague like of the locusts in
Egypt.
Genesis.
Yeah.
No. This is a plague of nations, of people. And those people aren't God-fearing Christians, by the way. Those people hate our God and hate his people.
You know, several years ago, when the talk of the day was the, you know, where we were being invaded from the southern border. You know, the Hispanics and the Guatemalans and the Colombians and the Bolivians and the, you know, all those from the South American countries were coming in, you know, and even last year, what was it, about this time last year and into the spring, all the children that were coming in, the unaccompanied youths is what they call them. And you know, about 68,000 just last fall and this spring that came in. That's the numbers they have recorded and reported by the news media. Well, that in itself is an invasion. We've talked about that time and time again. That it is this. It is nations that have come in, and they're still. Talked a little bit about this Thursday night. There's still over 5,000 unaccompanied youths per month coming across our southern border that are being documented. Over 5,000. Just a little over 5,000 in October and 5,600 in November. 5,000 a month, that's troop movements. Getting ready, it's an invasion, getting ready for war. There's just no doubt about it. And it is the absolute locusts of Joel. God points that out, and then his word, he gives a fix. You know, he tells us as a people how to fix it, how to stop it, how to change it. If the people will listen. But you know, yeah. John, just like you read in Jeremiah 7, God says they're not going to listen to you. And the majority of them aren't. You know, they don't listen to the warning. And they don't listen to the good news either. You know, because they truly are tied together. But the remnant does. That's what we have to remember. The remnant hears. When we put the truth of the word out, as politically incorrect as it is, it's called hate speech, it's called racist, it's called all kind of things. No, it's love speech. And it's godly and biblical, and it's truth. And when that truth is put out, the frequency that that truth carries, bong, the remnant hear it. The Judeo-Christians, they hear it as hate speech. But the true Christians, those that have repented, or at least are on the road to repentance, they hear it. And it resonates with them. And it speaks to them.
Yeah. Reading on in Joel 2, this is what I was looking for. Starting in verse 7. And they each march in line and do not deviate from their paths. They do not crowd each other. They march everyone in his path. When they burst through their defenses, they do not break ranks. They rush on the city and they run on the wall and they climb into the houses and they enter through the window like a thief. And if you watch those videos, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, and it's interesting because in that scripture that you read, it says they're innumerable. And, you know, that it's kind of interesting if you take that because we don't have any idea how many, what the numbers are.
No.
We don't have any idea how many are in here, you know, to this day. I mean, you can't, you can't figure it out.
Yep. No. And that's by design. It's by design. The numbers that are reported, who knows? You know, I know the L.A. Times this week was, that's where I saw those numbers on the 5,000, over 5,000 a month of these unaccompanied youths. You know, it could be double that, but you know it's at least that much. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Jason. It is innumerable. You know, if you flip over to Psalms 83, certainly a prayer to God. You know, O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. And those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. They have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. And when we, you know, America, when you see we're being invaded by the Muslims from the Middle East, from the hordes of Hispanics from the South, nobody ever talks about the Chinese that are that have a very strong, strong foothold in Canada. And have openly declared that they desire the northwestern United States as their own. It is just as I think...
Well, they own a lot in this country,
absolutely
too.
Absolutely they do.
The
yeah,
Chinese.
The ports in California, the water ports, it is a conspiracy. But here, you know, Psalms 83 points out that they conspire together against your treasured ones, God, and that's us, and it's against God. And the thing that all these people have in common is that they do, like you said earlier, John, they hate our God. They do. And they come against him. They have conspired together. They all get along fine. But it's always been that way. You know, you read through that in the times of Joel, in the times of Isaiah, in the times of Jeremiah, in the times of Ezekiel. And we are just repeating those times today.
Yeah, I was reading some statistics, and these are their, you know, their statistics, so you know that these aren't even close to true. But basically, there's estimated 3 million Muslims living in the U.S. right now. And in the EU, before the current invasion, there were an estimated 20 million permanent resident Muslims living there. But as the U.S. continues to welcome in, you know, 280,000 Muslim migrants a year, and that's the numbers they tell us, which is less than what they actually are, those numbers give a potential of 6.4 million Muslims living in the United States by 2030. When you figure their birth rates and immigration, I mean that's a substantial number. You know, could have been a warning when God opened up the southern borders to warn the people before this, you know, mass migration of the Muslims. But obviously, we didn't heed it.
Yeah, the birth rates are another thing that you mentioned. You know, those that are coming in, whether it's the Muslims or the ones from the South or whatever, their birth rates are greater than the Caucasian birth rates in this country.
Yeah, by many fold.
Yeah.
But see, they have a mission too to pollute the blood of our people, and they're doing it. I mean, they're basically saying if you're not fertile enough to reproduce enough to defend your, I mean, I've heard these imams, some of them speaking on YouTube and stuff, and they basically say if you're not fertile enough to produce enough of the white generation to defend the Muslim generation, then we'll you know, procreate with your women. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of their agendas.
Yeah.
So don't tell me it's not war.
Yeah, they've been doing that over in Germany, telling them, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to, if we don't fight you on the battlefield, we're going to breed you out.
Yep.
That's where I saw it, I believe, was in Europe.
Yep.
But, I mean, they're bold. They're proclaiming this stuff from the mountaintops.
They are.
Just like the word said. Yep.
Had a caller week before, not this past week, but the week before, called in and was... wanted some information, greatest discovery of our age, the greatest love story to send to his friend in Sweden. And so we put some packages together and sent it to him, and he was going to send it on. And the guy's name was John, different John. And he said his friend from Sweden had told him that many of the blonde-haired Caucasian girls over there are dyeing their hair black to keep from getting raped. Now, that was a quote from him. That many of the girls, the young ladies in Sweden, are dyeing their hair black to keep from getting raped by the Muslims. And, you know, you don't see that on MSNBC. You don't hear that on, you know, you don't see old Gretchen coming on. And, you know, reports are hair dye, black hair dye stock is up in Sweden because the blondes there, you know, they're getting raped by the Muslims left and right. So they're dyeing their hair black so they don't stand out. You don't hear that kind of stuff on the national news, but apparently it's happening. And, you know, don't think it's not happening in, or it hasn't happened in Dearborn, Michigan, and in places like that where the Muslims have come in and have taken over. We've seen it happen in California where the illegal Hispanics have come in and become the majority of people in the community, and they let them vote, and they vote their people in, and then their people appoint illegals, Hispanics, to, oh, the housing chairperson over here and the to the different county and city offices. It's what they do. It's what they do.
Well, I don't know if you saw in New York, just within a few weeks or maybe a month, the Muslims rose up in New York and demanded that they have the Islamic holidays off, just like America has certain holidays. And a lot of them, during the reading of it, you know, denying them that right, said boldly, they're screaming out, one day we will be the majority.
Oh, know? Yeah.
One day we will be the majority.
I've seen videos, like you mentioned, John, of them coming before, it was in, I think it was in Minnesota, of them coming before a school board and demanding that. It was the week before Ramadan, I think, if that's right. I don't know what their holidays are, but something along those lines, and demanding that they give the children that day off, which was just the next week. And the school board is there saying,
yeah,
you know, listen, we can't do it on this short notice, but, you know, there's a process. If you will apply in, we can, you know, and you have enough support, we can schedule it for next year, and to where it's, you know, it's scheduled so everybody knows about it. But the guy, school board member, said, you know, right now, if you know, we can't do that and just cancel classes for that day, because there'd be 10,000 parents, you know, having to, you know, take off work or something along those lines to take care of their children out of school on that day. And the Muslim young lady that was there, you know, in her headscarf, and you could see her face, but everything else was wrapped up, you know, in her Haji headgear. You know, she starts pounding on the podium. We are the majority. We are the majority. We will rule. We will decide what happens here from now on. We are the majority. And that's exactly what it was. And then, and there must have been 100 Muslims there. And it was almost a riot. I mean, they had sheriff's deputies and stuff in there because they knew. They deal with that day in and day out here in the USA. And they know how those people are. They know that Islam is not a religion of peace. At least the people that they see aren't. And the way the people that claim to be Muslims act, don't act in peaceful ways. Old Farouk and Tashfeen Malak out in San Bernardino, who were devout Muslims, sure didn't act in peaceful ways.
Well, bottom line is our God's not mocked.
Amen. Well, folks, we have phone lines open. If you want to call in this morning, 307-745-5913 is the call-in number this Saturday morning, December 12th. And we've got a few more minutes here in the program. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make,
yeah, I was thinking, I happened to watch the Abomination speech, you know, 4 days later about the tragedy in California. And if you analyze that, which I'm working on somewhat of a sermon or something, some kind of teaching regarding that, what he truly said. But anyways, when he said the Republicans won't even grant not buying weapons to people who are on the no-fly list. Well, you know, the average person thinks, well, if they're on the no-fly list, then they must be, you know, dangerous to the government, and that would be a good thing. But what you don't realize is that's 470,000 people on that list, and that can be, all they have to do is deem you where you're not politically correct, or you're against homosexuality, or whatever, same-sex marriage, and bam, you're on that list. And let me tell you, it's not only the ability not to buy a gun, it's the ability to own a gun. Now think of this. They get that passed, and all they have to do is put anybody who's in opposition to their agenda on the list.
Absolutely. There's no due process of law. There's no voting. There's no no bill presented. There's no discussion about it. Nothing. It's just an order, basically. Well, guys, phone lines ringing.
Well, and there's no rules on who they can put on it. There's no nothing that says why you can get on it. Once you're on it, you can get off. It's almost impossible to get off of it.
Yeah.
Ted Kennedy was on it.
I know.
They have multiple 18-month-year-old babies that are on the no-fly list. 18-month-year-old babies.
Wow.
There was a 9-month-year-old baby that was on the no-fly list. Now tell me, tell me how that works. Yeah.
It's a back-end run around the Constitution, around the Bill of Rights, around the due process of law that has been part of this country for over 200 years. It's basically what it is. Guys, got all four lines ringing. Let's see if we can take a phone call here.
All right.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello.
Hey, almost lost you there.
Hey, this is Brother Stephen from Philadelphia.
Hey, good morning.
I'm listening to you, brothers. Bless you all. I just want to bring some good news, see what you think. I'm seeing a pattern here of from the Civil War. And that pattern is based on the law in the sense of Deuteronomy 23:7-8, that Edom can repent. Edom can repent after the third generation. That's just the law. And the good news is that the Lord repents. So we're all rightfully preaching 2 Chronicles 7:14, but we also have to remember in Jeremiah 18:8 it says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So this is the prayer that you brothers have been, you know, telling us to diligently, you know, bring forth, because we just have to invoke this law here. Now the issue to bring it up to date, and I have so much stuff here that it's crazy, but is this 150 years since the Civil War. And I've been seeing a pattern since, you know, 1863, 1861, this whole pattern of Lincoln. It wasn't coincidental that the Pope spoke from Lincoln's lectern from Gettysburg, and I'm here right in the county where, you know, where Valley Forge is, and also where prayer was taken out of school in Abington, same county. Mm. So we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle, but the Lord's given it to us. It's this 150-year anniversary. December 6th of this week, just for instance, is the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment. Now, we know the 13th Amendment outlawed involuntary slavery. But the 14th Amendment, which will come up in 2018, made it legal in their legal system for voluntary slavery. And that's what this whole code of canon law that the Catholic Church published in Washington, D.C. is in it. Get a copy. Published in Washington, D.C., the juristic person. The juristic person is the key. Linked to the birth certificate. Now, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? Who knows? In my mind, the Pope, to bring it back up to date, December 8th, is this year jubilee going to last for a year. Copy that. Read it. You know, we don't know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is right now. But
well,
obviously,
Lord
said,
what, Steve,
if we
Steve,
were disobedient...
Now, Steve, hold on, Steve. Then, what I'm going to do, Steve, is I'm going to pause you there. We do know who the good guy is. The good guy is Jesus Christ. And the good guys are those that follow him, that have repented, have washed in the blood, and have been baptized, and have turned away. And certainly we have. I don't disagree with anything you got saying. I got three other lines ringing. Appreciate the call. We're going to take one of these other callers here.
Hey, Steve, if you can, send us in some of that, some of your notes, and we'll see if we can disseminate that to our people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's take one of the other callers. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Thank you, Steve.
Good morning. Well, we'll try another one. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Mark.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. I wasn't going to say this, but that guy who talked about the Civil War, I don't know if you know this, but the prisoner of war camp for the Confederacy was in Chicago, Illinois, at Chicago Stockyards. That was a prisoner of war camp. And if you were thrown in that camp, most likely it was like Andersonville in Alabama, that you probably weren't going to make it out. But that wasn't what I was calling about. But what I was calling about is that in Jeremiah chapter 1 through 7, when you look at the north, when it says it's talking about an army coming out of the north, well, Jeremiah was prophesying to the tribe of Judah, as you know, and the army didn't come out of the north. Nebuchadnezzar did not come out of the north. So he's talking about what's getting ready to come in the New Jerusalem. And that whole prophecy, when you read that, those chapters, God's going to send Russia and China upon this nation, and we're talking about 200 million man army invasion, and they're going to sweep this nation from the Pacific to the Atlantic and everything in between, and they're going to sweep it clean. And so that's what the Word of God says in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and that's what's coming. And we know there's an invasion like you're talking about, but it ain't nothing compared to what's coming, because when we have 200 million Chinese troops, that's just their infantry alone, plus all the 20 Confederate nations that belong to them that make up this alliance. And it talks about this cauldron, and it says the word cauldron, and it talks about we make alliances with our enemies. And America's made alliances when they made alliance with Russia during World War II. That was against God's law.
How about the alliances we have with the Israelites who deny Jesus as the Christ? Yeah. You know, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for the comments. We'll try to get these other callers. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Got another caller here. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Marlon down in Tennessee.
Marlon, let me pour you a cup. Man, you just been on that line for quite a while. We sure appreciate it. How are things in Tennessee this morning?
Well, it's unusually warm. I think they're talking about a high today of about 75. I don't think it got below about 60-something last night. So it's seasonably warm. What I wanted to...
Snowing here now.
Yeah.
Is it cold there?
Snowing in about 24 here in Laramie. So.
Well, we could use some of that cold weather down here. I've got wood stacked as far as I can see. I'm ready for it. I wish they'd bring it on. The deer aren't moving. We need the
cold.
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
Speaking to something y'all were talking about earlier, our pastor taught us that there are those that plot against us, and all these false religions plot to undermine Israel continually, and because they listen to their father just as we listen to ours, and some of these enemies are easier to spot. So, by my way of looking at it, they're easier to combat. That is, if we get serious about that. The enemy that's hidden, though, that's constantly weaving their little web behind the scenes and pretends to be our friend, and they're harder to identify, so they're harder to combat.
Amen. That unseen third party that's there. You know, Pastor, you're absolutely right, Marlon. Pastor addressed it in many, many different times. You know, the unseen war, the book that we finally got printed from the pastor that he spent 20 years writing, denotes that unseen third party that are behind the scenes. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, when you realize that there's an unseen third party that benefits from war, that war is called their harvest season, that is more than happy to say, hey, let's you and him fight when you and him are his enemies. And so you're right. The rulers of this world, the children of the devil, which is who, what they are, they cause these things to happen. It goes all the way back to Balak and Balaam. You know, they can't curse us as a people. They can't excuse me, defeat us as a people, but they can make us sin. And the more they can make us sin, the more they can stay behind the scenes and put the evil in front of us and you know, cause us to form alliances with them, our enemy. And we're certainly talking about those that deny the Christ. And it's just what they do. And, you know, Christians and Muslims have gotten along. The Christians have had to put Muslims down time and time again. You know, if any of you are familiar with the Marine Corps battle hymn.
Barbary Pirates.
The Barbary Pirates from the shores of Tripoli. Guess who the Marines had to go and beat the living stew out of and put down on the shores of Tripoli? It was the Muslims back in the 1700s. And so, you know, but you know, the churches that have been burned in Turkey and Syria and all the Christian churches and the Christian persecution, that hasn't happened in hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Things are changing.
When we got serious about taking on this task too, we found out that it could be done in short order.
Yes.
With you know, extreme effectiveness. And I'm just thankful that to have had the teaching and the training, the insight of someone who was able to see things more of what they are and less of how they appear. So that, you know, it does put the typical Judeo-Christian at a terrible disadvantage, because they don't learn how to think strategically and see things as they really are. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that the ministry
Amen.
Has continued that along. And I'm actually smitten pretty much daily by the thought that, you know, our pastor, who's now been gone for some time, is more effective dead than I am alive, and I'm really humbled by that.
Amen. Yeah, if you go back even further than Unseen War, you go back to America the Conquered, the book you wrote probably close to 30 years ago now.
Yes.
You read that book, and then I want you to deny that he had the gift of prophecy, you know. So he's been warning. We've been given the knowledge. The question is, what are we going to do with the knowledge? Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, we have the knowledge, and God says in the last days knowledge would increase. It's, we have to seek that knowledge. We have to continue on to try to seek the prophecies that were revealed to our pastor. But in order to do that, we have to get to a point in our lives where we put, where we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength.
Marlon, thanks for the comments.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks,
and y'all have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Brother.
Got a couple phones still ringing. We'll try to take them. Hey, good morning. Got a minute here. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well.
Hello.
We'll try this other one. Oh, and lost that one too. Well, got to remember when you call in, I know sometimes, you know, it'll put you on hold. You just have to wait. You can hear what's going on here, but you have to have your radio turned down and just listen in on the phone then, because there's about a 20-second delay, you know, from us talking here and it going across the streaming computer into all parts of the world and up on the shortwave and the internet and everywhere else.
Yep.
But
well, if you call back.
Yeah, got one caller here, and we've got a minute to take another call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, that's what we heard last time. Oh, well.
Must have a bad connection.
Must have. Well, We're wrapping up this morning. You know, this next week we have a 91st day coming up on, the 17th. And it's going to start at noon because we're not in daylight savings time right now. If at all possible, we encourage you to take that Thursday noon to Friday noon as a Sabbath. If you can, we encourage you to do so. We have some information on it. It's called the 91st Day Packet. I like to summarize it and say that it's a Sabbath between the seasons, between the change of the seasons. And but we do have some information on that. We'd be glad to send it to you. Goes all the way back to early 2000, 2001, when pastors started sending information out on that. But we do have the 91st Days Packet. We'd be glad to send it to you. I think you can read it there at the website as well, scripturesforamerica.org. And so if you can, we encourage you to do that. Want to encourage you to come to church with us tomorrow. You know, we're told to not forsake the assembly, and we need to be able to get together with like-minded Christians and to to be encouraged to love and good deeds. And one of the ways we can do that, John, like you mentioned, the way that our pastor looked forward and was forward thinking and looking and prophetic in what he did is, you know, he saw, I think we were in probably one of the first churches in this country that streamed their services live to the internet years and years ago, you know, before we did DVD Church. You know, pastor had that idea. Now, there were many that would record their services, send them to public, you know, the public stations and play them later, but to stream live, and we still do that. So you can come to church with us. Scripturesforamerica.org is the website. You can come there and click on the live video stream at 10 a.m., starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. So, again, we're going to encourage you, read your Bible. You know, maybe you've read it before, we hope so, but you know, if not, or even if you have, when you read it now, you know, you've grown since then, hopefully, grown in His grace and knowledge, and that living Word will mean more to you the next time you read it. So we encourage you to do that. Well, guys, thanks for joining us, and as long as the roads are open, we'll see you at church in the morning.
Amen. Lord willing.
Amen. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating.
barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.